Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour, halfway home with you on a Wednesday hump day. It's Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. We went heavy NFL first half of the show. We'll go heavy college football here on the back nine of the show, starting off on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's welcome in our good buddy Jeremy Johnson of Dogs HQ. Make sure you check him out. They're great stuff as always. Jeremy, we saw what we needed to see, 45-7 versus Marshall. What were your big takeaways from the game? Anything you could really glean despite it being a very inferior opponent?
Yeah, you definitely want to see what the quarterback was going to do. You know, Gunnar Stocking, this was his second start, third game, kind of being the main guy, you know, and, you know, for what he was asked to do, he checked pretty much every box. He was able to go out there and run the football, and, you know, he was able to deliver the football and, you know, in some key situations through two touchdowns. One, that big long one to Zachariah Branch was probably the headliner, and that was another one of my takeaways is that, you know, Georgia has a explosive offense, and they can do it multiple ways. You got Dwight Phillips, and you got Zachariah Branch with all that speed, and the defense looks like Georgia's defense. That was the other takeaway, and there's a lot of speed and youth and athleticism up and down that unit, and I think it's only going to get a little better as the season goes on.
What did you make of the stable of running backs? Kirby Smart after the game said, you know, you need to run the ball a little bit more consistently to his liking. And my joke all week has been, Jeremy, that, I mean, I guess he has to nitpick something when you win 45-7. But what did you make of the backs?
Yeah, you know, you started the game with Nate Frazier, and, you know, there were some things that he could have done better. You know, there was a couple of times he left a little meat on the ball. And honestly, just, you know, going up in there and kind of, there was a couple of times we kind of ran into the middle of the line where the blocking was going some another direction that he could have got maybe a couple more yards. So I think that'll come as the season goes. He's also playing with a new front, you know, that group, and then he had injuries up front as well. So that complicated things even more. So, you know, just George is kind of trying to find who's going to be the rotation. You know, we didn't see Roderick Robinson. We didn't see Josh McCray either. Two guys I think Georgia will have to count on at some point this year. So, you know, I think this week you'll even see, you know, a lot more of that. And we'll see who gets the hot hand and see who kind of takes that position and runs with it. I think Nate's kind of the guy right now. But, you know, Dwight Phillips had a good game. Chauncey Bowen did some good things as well. And I think they like all three of those guys. And they're young players, too. So they're only going to get better.
You mentioned the receiving core. Aside from one or two drops from Dylan Bell, mostly the guys were actually catching the football. How much of a sight for sore eyes was that?
Yeah, I think that was the confirmation that they needed. You know, just that group went through it last year, and it's probably little things. And I think Dominic Lovett kind of owned that on Pro Day. It was a lot of little things that happened that led to a lot of that stuff. But it's like as many drops as they had, at some point it became mental. It was like, oh my gosh, like let's make sure we don't drop this one. So I think this group has a fresh start. There's a lot of new faces in there. There's a lot of athleticism. There's a lot of really good football players in there. So, you know, I think they've taken a step forward just with the talent level and, you know, some of the guys that, you know, probably are paying attention to those details a little more. So I don't think drops are going to be an issue this year. And I think their receiving core actually may end up being one of the strengths of the team just with how much talent they have.
You also mentioned the offensive line, a couple of injuries there. What do you know? What's the latest?
Yeah, Juan Gaskins got a lower leg injury or ankle injury. You know, we don't really know when he'll be back. They were really vague about, you know, kind of what his condition will be. You know, we're going to have to kind of wait and see. You know, they hope to get him back. I'm using air quotes this week, but, you know, maybe you let him rest and, you know, try to see if they'll be ready for Tennessee. Ernest Green's another one his injury was not really known. He didn't really go down in game, but it was severe enough to where he didn't come back and play. You know, obviously he had a lead, but, you know, kind of interested to see if he plays and what he does in pregame and throughout the week to see if he's another one that kind of says, let's just get you ready for Knoxville in 2 weeks.
What did you make of the state of the defensive line and the rotation? A lot of guys that are going to be fighting for minutes and fighting for plays, but I don't know if they have the standout star like a Jordan Davis or a Jalen Carter.
Yeah, you know, I think Christian Miller's morphing into that guy. He did some really good things. I don't think he had to do a ton just because, you know, it was Marshall was really, hey, we're going to come out and run it. And you kind of saw what that was up front early. And I think you'll see kind of Christian Miller evolve as a, I mean, I think he's a really good pass rusher. And I think he hadn't had a chance to show that yet. So I think he's kind of the guy that I would circle. Jordan Hall had a pretty good game as well. He's another guy who was a highly recruited guy a couple of years ago. And, you know, he's kind of been injured. So he hadn't really had a lot of experience himself. So I think he's one that is another guy to kind of put a pin in and say, okay, this is somebody that we could see become a star. Obviously, Joseph Jonah Ajayi returning from injury last year. He's another guy that's a five-star. I mean, literally all these guys are five-stars. So any one of them, you know, if they put together a good couple of weeks, you know, they start to get in that discussion of, hey, is this a first-round pick in the future? You know, so I think you got so many guys. Elijah Griffin's one that we didn't even mention yet. So I think they're loaded. They're Georgia. They're definitely Georgia up front again this year.
Listen, we know what next week's going to be as we're talking to our buddy Jeremy Johnson. Make sure you check him out at Dogs HQ. But when we get to Tennessee, how involved do you think Delp and Lawson Lucky are going to be?
I think they're going to have to be very involved, especially when you're talking about getting in the red zone and then being helpful in blocking in the run game, because those two guys have done this before. They've been in that environment. They've played in these big games. And, you know, you're going to be Gunnar Stockton and you're going to look around your huddle and you're going to be like, okay, who can I count on? Well, that's those two guys. And, you know, they may not have a huge role these first two games, but, you know, when you get in that foxhole, those are the two guys that have been here. They've done that. And they both seem to have a connection with Gunnar Stockton. I think Oscar Delp is his roommate. So, you know, they're pretty close. And, you know, Lawson's been really good as far as catching passes the last 2 years. So those two have to have big games in the next couple weeks just because, you know, having a young quarterback and having a guy who is low on experience, you need those guys across the middle of the football field to count on.
How great was it to see KJ Bolden make that special teams play?
Yeah, that's Georgia for you. Preseason All-American, freshman All-American, and he's out there playing special teams. I mean, I don't know if KJ Bolden played special teams at Buford. I mean, he may have actually, but I think it was a kick returner, but he never really had to do that part of it, but he's out there doing it for Georgia. And the fact that he's bought into that says a lot about how much he feels about this program and how much is required of players at Georgia. I mean, it wasn't just KJ Bolden. Like, freshman Ethan Barbour was out there switching jerseys. I mean, he played literally every special teams in his first college football game. I mean, it's a big deal for Georgia to be able to play special teams. And I think having so much young talent and so many good athletes that it's a unit that can really help them and really be a net positive for them, you know, going into some of these games when you get late. And I mean, say if that happens in the fourth quarter against a big opponent in a championship situation, that's a huge deal for, you know, to steal a possession. So I think, you know, it's a bit of a forecast of things to come and how important that role is for that football team.
How much do you think that loss by Alabama reshapes immediately the status of the SEC, or does it at all?
I don't think it really impacts. Honestly, I don't think it impacts the SEC at all. I think it makes Alabama a more dangerous opponent because now they're a wounded team. They're a team that now has to start to look at their season like, hey, we already got one loss, another one, and we're on the brink of destruction here. I mean, because you can't lose to Georgia and then look at the rest of your schedule and be like, hey, I mean, we can't lose again, or we're not going to the SEC championship game, or we're not going to the college football playoff, if that's what their expectation is this year, you know? So they've pushed themselves into a corner early, and the rest of the SEC has to deal with that version of Alabama, you know, being, you know, I think we're going to start seeing that a lot, especially by the time we get to week four when the SEC play kicks in. I mean, this thing ramps up really quickly, and I think Alabama was just the first domino of that happening, especially being a top 10 preseason team.
Before I let you go, we did get to see our old friend Carson Beck in prime time. What did you make of his performance at the U?
I mean, he looked like Carson Beck. I mean, he's a really good player. I think, you know, some of the interceptions last year kind of soured people on what he was as a player. But, I mean, there were stretches of last year where he played really, really well. I mean, that second half of the Alabama game, the dude threw for 300 yards. And, I mean, he's a really talented football player. I mean, there were a couple places where he could have, you know, maybe threw the ball a little behind, you know, here, but that he's learning a whole new offense, playing with a new group of guys. I expect that to kind of be cleaned up by midseason. So that offense looks like it could be dynamic, you know. I mean, he just seems to really, you know, fit what they're trying to do culturally and, you know, just with that offense. So, you know, that was pretty Miami's a real team now. I think their defense is really good, and I think having Carson there, you know, he's an experienced, he's one of the older quarterbacks in college football at this point. So, you know, any opponent they face, you know, they'll have a guy that can go toe-to-toe with anybody.
Well, real quick, you mentioned that conference, and, you know, I don't know how many times or how long we'll get to do this for, but some love for the guys out on the flats. That was an impressive win.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been recruiting really well. My background has been recruiting for the last couple of years, and every couple months, I'm just like, man, I'll see a guy. I'm like, man, that dude looks like a really good football player. No one's recruiting him. Georgia Tech hasn't offered him already. Their scouting department has done a really great job of finding these guys that haven't hit the national buzz yet, and they really recruit them, and they build a great relationship with them, and that's translating over to them having a really close-knit, gritty football team. And that's, I mean, physicality and running the football – it's how you win football games at the college level. So I think, you know, Britt Key has done a great job over there. I think he's done a great job setting the foundation. I think they, you know, it's not even just this year. I think this is just the beginning of what Georgia Tech football can be over the next 3 to 4 years, just with, you know, being a consistent contender in that ACC.
Jeremy, great stuff. Appreciate the time. We'll chat soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
All right, that is Jeremy Johnson. Make sure you check out his stuff at Dogs HQ. When we get back, let's keep the college football conversation going with a little national perspective. Our buddy Ian Valentino, A to Z Sports. All right, everybody's calmed down about this Arch Manning thing. Is he going to be just fine, or do we have something to worry about here? We'll ask him all that and more next. It's Chris Thomas tonight talking college football with you on 92.9 The Game.